Welcome along to the just Retro Asylum. Me.
Just lead in when you're ready.
Yes, yes, I am ready, Chris, and I have led in now, so welcome along. And as you can hear, dear listeners, I am joined by Chris. Say hello, Chris.
It's been a while, mate.
It's been a while, yeah, hasn't it? This is a Game Club episode, short one, because it's just putting out the short list here. But yeah, you've been playing a lot of Dungeon Master.
I've been trying to play some Dungeon Master. I'm just thinking that these shortlist episodes with just me and you on are now almost retro.
Yeah, they must be. So
we're going meta with this stuff. We're doing a retro throwback, old school shortlist episode. Yeah, I've slid off Dungeon Keeper quite badly.
Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Keeper.
I'm sorry, that was me. Put that in your head.
Did you say Dungeon Keeper?
Yeah, I did. I did.
I've not been playing Dungeon Keeper.
Oh, that's a good game, though.
I kind of wish I have been. Mm. Dungeon Master started off really strong for me. The early stages, and I'll get into this when I record with Paul next week. It started off really strong, really nice atmosphere. Loved choosing the characters. The first couple of levels, there's a couple of light puzzles, but I really liked the atmosphere, the exploration side of it. The combat was okay. You know, it's clunky. It's a 1987 game. So the interface is clunky. It's bound to be. But the deeper you get into the dungeon, you start off, the typical of these games, you start off at the top, you've got to work your way down. Each level becomes more difficult to introduce new enemies.
Yeah.
The combat gets really, really hard, really quickly, to the point where it just isn't fun. And you've got all of these systems that you've got to manage, which is what makes the game unique and what makes the game good. But you're managing your stamina and your mana, your magic points. But it takes ages for your magic points to fill up. So you learn these spells, which are really effective. Like you get this fireball that you can use. But then you have to just wait for your mana to recharge before you can go and take on. You find yourself just stopping, just putting down the mouse and just waiting.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think it's a game that I've found difficult to go back to this day and age and have fun with.
Okay.
But, many people in our Discord did.
Yeah. Quite a lot of people have been playing it.
They're going to call me a modern gamer, I reckon, by finding it too difficult.
It's because you're so young, mate.
Have you played it?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Never. Time, mate. No, I don't think so.
No. Not even sure. On the Amiga?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's not something I recall playing.
It's amazingly well-regarded.
Games like that, I played, like Eye of the Beholder and stuff like that, but I don't think I've played Dungeon Master, actually.
I read a Jimmy Marr's article on the blobber. They called them this genre the blobber genre because of the way in which your four characters kind of blob together and move around together as one.
I've never heard that before.
And what he says is that the likes of Lands of Lore and Eye of the Beholder made these games more interesting because they put a lot more plot in. They made the visuals more interesting. But actually, in terms of the fundamental mechanics, he reckons that Dungeon Master was never, ever surpassed. And that's why they stopped making them, because it was a case of, well, there's no way we can do this better.
Okay.
That's very high praise.
Yeah.
So Paul and I are going to do a proper deep dive on it. Paul's got a lot of men, played it a lot back in the day. I've obviously come to it more recently. So we're going to try and unpack all of that and figure out how we can make Dungeon Master enjoyable today.
Mm. Yeah, sounds good. Look forward to listening to it. It'll be fun to be a listener.
So what have you been up to?
So what have I been up to? I've been up to finishing the last game for playthrough. That's been good fun. So we just a couple of days ago recorded the final episode of your game, Horizon Zero Dawn. And that was a great game to get through. It was a long game. And some long episodes, a lot of stuff to talk about. So that was good. But just recorded that. And I guess before this episode goes out, that episode of playthrough will already have hit the airwaves.
Yes.
Yep. Sure, so that was good. I've been enjoying that. Apart from that, as I've mentioned on the last episode, I've been playing my Steam Deck and actually playing a bit more on my Amiga the A500 Mini, having some fun with that, along with Paul Driscoll.
That's gone down really well, the A500 Mini, hasn't it?
Once again?
That's gone down really well, the A500 Mini.
Yeah, it's a great piece of kit. There's no two ways about that, I think.
Yeah, It's a nice little emulation box as well. For those who don't have enough little emulation boxes.
I have more than enough little emulation boxes. Thanks, mate. But this one just makes me happy. Sometimes, actually, when we were recording the playthrough episode, you guys thought I had fallen over at some point. That was because I was studying my A500 Mini very, very closely, because it just made me happy to look at this little Mini Amiga 500 and how well recreated it is. I mean, it looks just like the real thing, if you ask me, just in a tiny box. So yeah,
I need to get one. So the only minis I've not got of the, well, actually I've not got a few, so I didn't get the Neo Geo. I didn't get the PlayStation. I've not got the Amiga, so I need to sort. Yeah. I've got the Mega Drive, the PS, the SNES, and the NES.
Did you get the PC Engine as well?
No, I've completely forgot about that one. I wonder, okay, if you can still get them.
Yeah, I don't know. So I've got a few of these minis, and the only one that I seem to be using is the A500 Mini.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you probably only need one on the go once, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Don't you? Do you know what I have just bought, though? Kit, good old Mark, on Discord, put me onto an ODE drive for the 3DO.
Yes. Which that was expensive, mate.
Yeah, but you know, I love the 3DO. In fact, one of my games that I'm going to choose on my long list was inspired by one of my games I had on the 3DO. But my drive is knackered. Remember when we played Wing Commander 3, I was talking about the skipping disc and the noise it was making. So I've played a couple of games since then, and it really is starting to fail. So I do plan on getting it fixed, because I do like having the original drives. So I plan on getting it fixed, but I've gone with the version of the ODE, which plugs into the expansion port, so it doesn't replace the actual drive. So it's like having the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
If you find a game that doesn't work, fine. You've got the game. So in my mind, that's fair game to download the ROM image and off you go.
Yeah, no need to get the original drive working again, mate. I hate CD drives. All of my CD drives are just failing on me these days. So ODEs, that's definitely the way to go.
But it is lovely when the original media works, though, isn't it? I mean, it's like any original media.
I've got nostalgia for a CD. A music CD, yeah. I've actually got nostalgia for those before. As a medium for my games, nah. Give me a floppy disk or tape. That's what I'm talking about. Discs, nah. I might as well just copy them and have an image on an ODE.
Yeah. I must say, I don't dwell on it too much, but I do. I like any physical media. The problem is with CD drives, they're the most fallible, aren't they? Then probably just behind those are the floppy drives, which show me an Amiga floppy drive that works perfectly, and I'll probably call you a liar.
Mine does. My A600 and my A1200, no, I never have any problems with that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good going. Yeah, you got to have some decent, hardy floppy disks to get those working.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to getting that 3DO ODE drive, because I'm one of my little projects at the moment is I am indexing. You're going to love this. My wife thinks I'm a right nerd. I am making an index of every game covered in the Edge magazines.
So you're a right nerd.
I'm going through each issue and writing down the games that were previewed, featured, or reviewed in Edge, and all the people that were interviewed as well.
And nobody's done that already?
No, not that I can find.
Wow, okay.
No. So I'm going to do it, and so every day I do one issue a day. So it's going to take me about a year. So I'm about 20 days in at this point. It's going to take me about a year, and then when I've done it, I'm gonna ask someone very, very nicely who knows how to set up a web page, and I'm going to publish it online.
So you and I need to have a talk about how you actually do it right now, because you might as well type it in a format that's easily parsable and ready to use for a web page.
Yeah,
I can do that for you.
We really should then, because I'm only about 20 issues in, so now is the time to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just doing it on a Word doc. I'm just...
Oh, yeah. Crap.
Oh, God.
You're such a noob, mate. Such a noob. I'll get you clued in.
Okay.
Give you a little wipe with a clue by four and see if I can actually make you understand stuff.
Oh, well, that'll be difficult, but you
yeah, it will.
Well, I'll be grateful for you for trying. But a lot of those games that were covered, the early games, were all, because it was right at the boom of the CD-ROM. So there's loads of CDI games, loads of Mega CD, CD32, 3DO games, most of which are absolutely rubbish. And to be fair to Edge, they called them out for being rubbish. But it is giving me the old nostalgia vibes of the 3DO. So I think it's a good purchase for me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you'll enjoy that one.
You had any retro purchases recently?
I don't think so, mate. Nope, not at all.
You're spent up after the Steam Deck. You're not allowed to buy anything else.
I have recently, within the last couple of months, bought a PS5 and a Steam Deck and the A500 Mini. I'm not allowed to use a penny more for the foreseeable future.
No, you are banned. You are banned for the rest of the year.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
And you need to get on to Zelda 2. We're just about to move on to Zelda 2 in our community playthrough, which is going really, really well. So we've been round one complete loop of all the games that we're playing, and we're going back to Zelda now. So from the 1st of June, it's the 26th of May now. 1st of June, Zelda 2.
So I actually left Zelda 1 just at the entrance of the final dungeon, I think.
Oh, you never finished it?
I haven't finished that yet.
Oh, mate.
Haven't had time.
You're probably about an hour away from finishing it.
Nah, you told me it took you a long time to get to that final dungeon.
Yeah, it depends on how you do it.
I didn't find the... I think I need some of the upgrades yet to be strong enough to go there.
Yeah, you probably do. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's very doable. Oh, well, I did it, and I've met my demise on Castlevania, so
supposedly really, really tough. So
that's really hard. There's one bit, right towards the end, which is just really difficult. Some have done it. I've refused to use save states because I just think I'd rather not finish the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's only a couple of stages that I've got to see. Mm.
Yeah, so, okay.
Zelda 2 doesn't get easier.
Okay, I didn't know that was a hard game.
It's very, very difficult apparently. And not the best. But you know what's great about this community playthrough in these early stages? Yeah, some of the games feel a little bit like it's quite difficult to get through, but we're safe in the knowledge that when we do, we've got the classics just around the corner. So by the time we loop back around to Zelda again, it's going to be Linked to the Past.
Mm.
And then we're into the 16-bit era with the likes of Super Metroid and Castlevania 4 and Final Fantasy 3 and 4. So it gets better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you should, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that'll be good. That'll be good. I'm a bit disappointed you didn't finish Castlevania, but hey, I never finished Rick Dangerous, so there's that.
Castlevania's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have to dedicate a couple of dozen hours at practicing it, you know, just practicing and practicing.
Okay.
And I think I'm ready. I'm ready to move on, knowing that I've not completed it, and I can go back to it in future, knowing that I've not finished it. I've got some unfinished business.
Mm.
I'll settle for that.
Good enough, mate. So, you ready to get into the long list?
Yeah, let's talk. So, do you want to introduce the theme?
Yes, the theme this time around was actually chosen by a committee on our Discord forum. It's 1v1 fighters. So, games like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, and Virtua Fighter, Tekken, and so on and so forth. It's a genre that you and I actually don't know a lot about. It's when I was a kid, going to the arcades and playing the arcade games, I would always try to make my 2 kroner, as it was in Denmark, last as long as possible when I put money into those machines. And that would mean playing Bubble Bobble, New Zealand Story, Double Dragon, so on and so forth.
Hmm.
A fighting game, I would, first off, somebody would come and challenge you, and then they'd beat you, and then you lost your money immediately. And secondly, if I even just played through against the opponents, there was no narrative, there's no fun there. It was just I just lost in a couple of minutes, and I felt like I've wasted my money. So I never, ever played those games in the arcades. Only when some mates really wanted to play Street Fighter 2 with me, I played with them just for fun. But it never did anything for me.
Yeah.
So I know little to nothing about 1v1 fighters. I mean, I stopped enjoying those after Way of the Exploding Fist or International Karate
which is
something like that.
Amongst the first ever.
Yes, yes. But those were the fighting games I really enjoyed. But I've never really played the, let's call them, modern retro fighting games. Those that came in the early 90s, for example.
Yeah.
But I know it's a huge thing, and it's a huge competitive scene still to this day. So of course there's something there, and this is what the Game Club is for, teaching us about the genres that we're actually not comfortable with.
Yep.
Not playing crap like Radiator Installer, but teaching us about a real genre that's actually could be interesting too.
Can you believe that was a year ago?
Theme Radiator Hospital. Installer? Yeah, could be.
It's time we went, but we revisited it, I think.
No, mate.
Two-point campus has just come out. You should get on that. You'd like that.
Yeah. No, I really wouldn't.
I'm similar with fighting games. So I didn't spend, as I've said many, many times, I didn't live near the coast, so I didn't spend that much time in arcades. It was just whatever was in the local chippy and the local shops, the local video shop that I played. And I don't ever remember them having Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or anything like that.
Okay.
Late 80s, I don't know, what would it have been? The one-on-one fighter of choice probably would have been, I don't know, what would it have even have been before Street Fighter 2? I don't know. I never really got exposed to them. And then I grew up like you did with the micros and the 16, the 8 and 16-bit computers. And, I mean, other than the odd exception, IK Plus, you know, where the Exploding Fist, the odd exception, really, especially on the Amiga, the one-on-one fighters were pretty desperately bad.
Yeah.
That there wasn't really much to enjoy.
And for me, even stuff like Way of the Exploding Fist, I liked Way of the Exploding Fist. I played that with my mates, but I loved Way of the Exploding Fist too, because that was actually, it had more of a narrative. It wasn't just fight, rinse and repeat, fight again. Yeah. It's actually moving along, and I know it was a very simple narrative. There was, you need to put stuff in there by yourself in these old games, of course, to put meaning in there, but it felt like a game to me.
But it gave you a reason just to carry on, to play.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't feel like, by the time I got to the PlayStation, when my first console was the PlayStation, other than the 3DO, but my first, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a sec, but my first real console was the PlayStation, by which time I was really into the JRPG, so I did never go and play the likes of Tekken and Soul Blade and those kind of games. I just wasn't really into them.
So when I finally got them, a good quality fighting game at home on the PlayStation, for example, I would play some of them sometimes at parties, for example. So I remember one of my choices for today is a game that I actually played quite a lot on the original PlayStation. Never got good at. I'm a button masher, but it was good fun at parties to just have a round of that and have a little competition.
Yeah. Do you know what does intrigue me though? When you hear people who know what they're doing with these things, when you hear them talk and they talk about it's like a game of chess and you've got to outthink your opponent. See, when I hear that, I actually think, that actually does sound really good. Like, these things have loads of depth and they're really cerebral. But
they do,
you've got to really understand them.
But they have lots of depth. There are definitely strategies to how to win. But at the same time, it also needs you to have lightning fast reflexes.
Yeah.
And to execute these strategies within a couple of frames of animation.
Yeah.
And I just know, I'm never gonna learn that. Never, ever. But I am. I'm ready to give it a good go and try it this month.
I think we should.
My aim is, not knowing that you are as much of a noob as I am, my aim is to beat you, mate. That's the goal I'm setting.
Well, in this wonderful day and age in which we live, the chances of getting some multiplayer gaming going on these things are pretty good.
We had a look at Fightcade, and a lot of the games are actually available there.
And let's face it, it's going to be so much more enjoyable if we can get some multiplayer going. So that'll be the aim with this thing. We'll probably spend a bit of time at the start getting to know the games, hopefully building up some skills, hopefully. And then we'll indulge in some multiplayer, hopefully, in some shape or form.
Yes. But do note, listeners, that we haven't checked that all of the games we are looking at right now are actually available on a 5K and work there. Yeah. I know some of them are, but how well it works, I actually don't know. Never tried using 5K. Yeah. So the games we've chosen are because we think they are worthy of being chosen on our long list here. And what ends up on the short list, we'll, of course, have a look at and check out.
Yeah. And we will keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kate, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to start with an easy choice. Everybody probably knows this game. It's from 1985, so it's not one of the modern games, but it's a game. It's one of the games that I remember fondly playing on my Commodore 64, and it's an early arcade 1v1 fighter, and it's Yi-R Kung Fu. I guess that's how you say it. Yi-R Kung Fu. Yeah.
So
it's developed and published by Konami in 1985, and it's Well, it says here on Moby Games that you follow the quest of a martial artist named Oolong to become the grandmaster of Kung Fu. And there's no story, of course. You just need to fight people. And it's a game that had more depth than it should have for an 85 game. So it's definitely one that I would like to revisit at some point. And I think perhaps I've never played the arcade version because that was a C64 game for me.
Yeah, it was ported.
So this is the arcade version that I'm suggesting we play if this goes to the shortlist.
It was imported to all. It was ported to all the 8-bit platforms, wasn't it? I think.
Oh yeah. I've got the list here. It's on the CPC, the BBC Micro, even the Commodore 16 version was there in the Plus 4, and the Commodore 64, of course, and yeah, that was on the ZX Spectrum as well. That was on all of the big 8-bit platforms.
And there is depth, is there? Is there enough depth?
As I recall it, yes. But I mean, death. There, you've got two moves at your disposal. You can punch and you can kick, and there's also, I'm sure there was some jumping. There were some strategies to how you approach your enemy based on the kind of weapons they had, because they had weapons, if I recall correctly, in this game. So some would have a long-ranged weapon. So you'd need to jump in there, and there was some good stuff to work with there.
Yeah. Sounds good. And is it the first one-on-one fighter?
I'm not sure, mate.
If it's not the first, it must be very close.
Yeah. I can tell you it was a one-man job. Apparently, let's see the arcade here. There's no credits for the arcade.
I read an article in Retro Gamer not so long back on it. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the guy.
No.
But like most projects in those days, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very few, if not one.
Mm.
Good choice, mate. So you've kicked us off with the very much so the earliest game on our list by comfortable distance.
Yes.
Shall I have a go?
Have a go, mate.
So my first one, Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mortal Kombat is for many, many, many reasons, a very important series of games, and those early games were hugely important. Whether it was this one or whether it was the original, are almost single-handedly responsible now for the fact that we have age restrictions on video games, because these games caused so much of a stir when they were released amongst various politicians, particularly in the US, that they brought in an industry self-regulation in terms of age-related content. And for that reason, as a kid growing up in the late 80s and early 90s, I was, of course, absolutely fascinated by this game. Mm. Even though I only ever played it at a mate's house, because a mate of mine had a Mega Drive and he had Mortal Kombat, and we were way too young, and I'm not even sure his mum knew he had it, but he did. He had a cart. I can't remember if it was Mortal Kombat 1 or 2. And we would stay up late into the night playing Mortal Kombat 2. I always remember he'd do that move, you know, that get over here move that Scorpio does and drags you over.
Yeah,
absolutely sickening, proper dick move it was. He'd do it on me all the time. Mm. And he'd always beat me. But it was fascinating playing it back then, because you knew you were playing something that you shouldn't. Whether it still holds up today, I don't know. I mean, it got incredible reviews. So I'm going to put forward the arcade game, but I expect and I would like to look at some of the ports, because the contemporary reviews of the SNES and the Mega Drive versions are absolutely stellar. You know, 9s and 10s out of 10 pretty much across the board for the 16-bit consoles of the day. But I would like to look first at the arcade version and probably work backwards from there. I don't know how well it holds up. Digitized graphics probably don't hold up all that well. But I'm hoping, given the strength of the contemporary reviews, that it still plays very well today. When I went to Arcade Club earlier this year with Andy and Jim, Andy had a quick go of it, and he could remember how to do a lot of the fatalities. So he was showing me some of the fatalities. In Arcade Club, they've got Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 next to each other, the cabs, which is quite nice. I think it was 2 Andy was playing on, Andy Gilmore, and he was very good at it.
This is a game I actually remember playing at a friend's house as well, but that was the DOS version that was released in 1994.
Wow.
I was blown away by the graphics because they look so real with those digitized graphics. They are digitized, aren't they?
Yeah, they are digitized. Yeah.
And especially the sound clips. I mean, as you said, Scorpion,
get over here.
And is all these little bits of sound clips that probably didn't sound that good, but was very impressive for its time.
Horrible, yeah.
And they've etched themselves into our minds. I mean, we can recognize them anywhere these days, can't we?
Yeah.
And they're actually used quite a lot also in popular media. I mean, if you see a movie from that's set in the 90s, and often you'll hear that from an arcade machine they walk past or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, the fatalities was a huge thing for a teenage boy.
Yeah.
I thought that was great fun. That I think one of them actually rips out the spine and skull of the opponent as a fatality, for example. That's brutal stuff.
I mean, we laugh at it now. And it obviously was intended to be over the top, but you can imagine, can't you, the kind of stink that caused.
Yes.
When it's digitized characters doing that kind of thing to one another, it's no wonder that it ended up in front of the Supreme Court in the US.
No.
And obviously the whole thing with Nintendo with the green blood and the
I've never seen that version actually.
We do what Nintendo. This all largely came from Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
So it's a fascinating game culturally to get into, and I think we'd have a really good time talking about it on an episode. And it got an Amiga port, man, 1994. That'll be interesting to check out.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. No, it's a game I would actually like to play again because it's one that I do have a bit of a nostalgia for. Never was any good at it, but I'm sure I learned how to perform a few of the fatalities.
Yep.
I would actually always play the yellow or blue guy, so Sub-Zero or Scorpion.
And then there was another one, I can't remember, that was introduced in 2, but there was a reptile guy, wasn't there, who
that's true,
who was a similar, I don't know, they used the same actor for him and just dressed him up in a different colour.
Yep.
Yeah, should be interesting. So that's my first game, Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah. So my second game is a game I had for my Neo Geo when I had an MBS and an arcade cap set up. And I actually had a few of these in the series. The series is still going today. It's the King of Fighters.
Yeah, classic.
And the game I've picked is the very first one, King of Fighters 94. So it's, I believe, one of the very first games in the arcade that has a team of fighters fighting against each other. Because you could fight, and then in the middle you could switch out, and another character would come in and fight. I believe that's how it was with the King of Fighters, right?
Yeah.
So, it's also a series that's been going, I think you said it was actually still going to this day.
I think so, yeah. I think they just released a new one, was it last year or the year before?
And this, of course, was released in 1994. It's developed and published by SNK, and it's a series that's loved by lots and lots of fans. And it has some crossover, I'm sure, with the Fatal Fury series as well. I remember I have one of those games as well, and I could never tell the two apart for some reason. But never really gotten into this apart from the button mashing and then losing after a few fights. So this is a game I'd like to learn more about, and I know that it's a very loved series, so I thought we needed a King of Fighters game on the list as well.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I've never played them. It was the first game, actually, when I got my Neo Geo, one of our listeners kindly sent me a cart because I didn't have any carts, and I'd ordered a multi-cart, but I didn't have it, so he sent me, might have been King of Fighters 94, like all of these things, you know, and we don't even need to say we're terrible at them because we are both terrible at all of these games.
Yes.
But it looks so pretty. Like, the sprite art is wonderful on all of these games.
Oh, yeah. King of Fighters has these huge sprites and they're very, very detailed. But I mean, it's what you expect from a new Geo game because, I mean, that machine was a beast at doing that 2D graphics. So,
And if nothing else, we'll have good graphics to look at while we're getting our asses handed to us.
Oh, yeah. And let's just say that some of these games had very good bounce physics as well.
Let's just say they're very Japanese.
They are, indeed.
The Japanese love their bounce physics, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do.
There we go. Good choice, mate. Yeah, it's... You know, I think if you're gonna have a list, a short list of fighter or a long list of fighter games, I think you need to have a King of Fighters game on there.
Mm.
To be honest, I'm gonna stay with the theme for a second and go with another Neo Geo game or a game that we at least That was its lead platform. It's a game called Samurai Showdown.
Yes.
You aware of this one?
Yes.
Yeah. So this was a game that was also developed and published by SNK. It was released in 1993 for the Neo Geo MVS. And it's had many, many ports over the years. So one of the unique things about this game is, well, there are two things really. One is that it's very traditional Japanese in its stylistic features. So a lot of the music sticks with a lot of these. A lot of these, for good reasons, fighting games have really heavy rock soundtracks, and they're really cool. I listen to a lot of fighting game soundtracks on Spotify, for instance, even though I don't really play the games. But this game was unique at the time because it featured a lot of traditional Japanese music and traditional Japanese backdrops, and was very much stuck to its Japanese roots. Again, really nice 2D sprite art. The other unique feature was the weapons. So yeah. Most of these characters have weapons, if not all of them, and they can drop the weapons. You can knock the weapons out of the hands with certain moves, and then you have to go and try and recover them. But the reason this is on my shortlist is this is probably the only one-on-one fighter that I have any nostalgia for, because yeah. I had this on my 3DO.
I see this has been ported to everything. Okay.
And it's a really decent port. Now, obviously, I didn't know whether it was a decent port back in the day because it was the only version of the game I'd ever played. But looking back now, again, Retro Gamer had done an article on this not so long back, and they looked at all the ports. And actually, the 3DO port, apparently it's really long load times and some of the graphics aren't quite as where they should be. But other than that, it's a really solid port. And I played this loads because 3DO games were expensive back in the day.
Mm.
And this was one of the few I had. I can picture it now. So I've got some nostalgia for this. So I think that will make me stick at it. If this makes the shortlist and it gets chosen, I think the nostalgia will carry me so far with it and hopefully will allow me to get under its skin and get decent at it. But again, really good cast of characters, lovely sprite art, great music, traditional Japanese stuff. What's not to love?
Yeah, I'm just looking at some screenshots here. It's just the usual beautiful 2D sprite work for the Neo Geo. And I like the addition of the weapons. This is, yeah. I'd love to play this. And I think I've never actually tried this.
Yeah. 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 Well, I remember it as being really playable. And I don't like one-on-one fighters, but I must have spent a good few hours on this back in the day.
Mm. Sounds good, mate.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So the next game is a game that we used to play. I got my very first console actually was a PlayStation that I bought in 96, 97, something along those lines. And one of the games that I got quite early on for that was Soul Blade.
Mm-hmm.
So Soul Blade is the first in the series. I think it's the first in the series that will turn into Soul Calibur, which yeah, I think a lot of people will know.
The Soul series, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a, would you call it a 3D game or 2.5D game? It's still, I mean, you're watching it from a side-on perspective.
Yeah, you move on a 2D plane, but it's kind of polygonal characters, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's you're fighting with weapons, if I recall correctly, there as well, and it's a good game where we used to play this a lot when we were drinking beer and smoking hash, actually, because it was a good button mashing game, so you could just pick up a controller, and even though somebody would be really good at it, well, actually, no, none of us would be really good at it because we'd be stoned out of our senses. But some of us would, someone would be better than the others. But even though you're just a button masher, you'd feel like you could actually participate as well.
Yeah.
So we always had fun with this game, and actually, I'll have to go and get a stash of weed if I need to play this again. I think because that's how I used to play it.
It'd entertain your kids, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I hope they don't listen to this podcast, actually.
I'm sure they don't.
Yeah, me too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said this. But Soul Blade is the game that started the whole Soul Calibur series. So, and it's if I recall correctly, a very good game to play on the PlayStation, for example. But I am putting forth the arcade version from 1996. It was published by Namco and developed by Project Soul.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder if that was an in-house Namco team.
Yeah, it could be, actually. I'm just going to research for a second here. What did they do? Oh, yeah, they did the entire... Yeah, it must have been. They did the entire Soul Calibur series. So they've got Soul Blade as their first game, and Soul Calibur Lost Swords from 2014 as their last game listed on Mobi Games.
How many have there been in the series in total?
Give me a second. I will tell you. I can tell you that these guys made 9 of them. No, 10.
Blimey.
And let's.
You don't fancy going with Soul Calibur instead?
So, actually, no. I really enjoyed Soul Blade, and I think that's the one I want to go with.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Have you played Soul Calibur?
I've played Soul Calibur, but in a button mashy. I've got it on my Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I think everyone who owns a Dreamcast has Soul Calibur, right? It's one of those games, and it's famous for its intro, isn't it? Because back in the day, it blew people away with its intro. It doesn't have the same effect nowadays, obviously.
Mm.
Soul Calibur looks still for a 3D game looks really, really good.
And I see the latest release in the series, Soul Calibur 6,
Blimey.
Has a lot of extra stuff coming out for it. So in 2020, some stuff came out for it as well. So
got really well reviewed there.
So I guess it's still running to this day.
Yeah, there's a huge community of people who still play these games, isn't there? And it's quite niche now, like anyone who's really into stuff. But yeah, there's a massive competitive community, isn't there, who play this stuff.
Yeah.
Going back to some of the early things, I think early games is a good thing. So, yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
So that's your third game, right?
That's my third game.
So I'm going to stick with the theme on the 2D, 3D. I think a long list of fighter games probably not complete without a Virtua Fighter game. And I'm going to go with what is regarded, I think, from what I've read, as the best in the series, and that is Virtua Fighter 2. Again, great. Going with the arcade game off the bat, but it'd be interesting to look at some of the ports, including the Windows port, which was released in 1997. And actually, my only bit of history with the Virtua Fighter series was with the original, and I had it for Windows 95. Do you remember when Sega used to publish their games on the PC? It's very strange, but they used to publish a lot of their games from the mid-90s were published on the PC. And I had Virtua Fighter, and I remember, you know, one of the very first 3DFX games I played was Virtua Fighter, because it had those polygons, and they were all the rage back then. And just look at the polygons on that kind of thing. But Virtua Fighter 2, we look at them now and we wince. Virtua Fighter 2 then came out, whether it was a year or 2 years later, and it made Virtua Fighter 1 look like some kind of test build of Virtua Fighter 2, because all of a sudden you had these texture polygons and you had these 3D animated backgrounds, which actually didn't survive the transition to the ports, unfortunately. So the 3D animated backgrounds with dynamic lighting effects, really advanced for 1994, only got as far as the arcade. So on the ports, some of them of which are really good, have the bitmapped backgrounds, which are static. But that said, the Saturn port raised a lot of eyebrows when that came out, because it was heralded as this arcade perfect port. And actually, it wasn't arcade perfect, but for the Saturn, it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked the character that looks like him, plays like a wrestler. So I was into wrestling back in the day, and one of the characters, I think one of the, like, is he a lion or something like that? I don't know who the characters are, but he's some kind of humanoid lion or something. He does wrestling moves, power bombs and stuff, and that always intrigued me.
Yeah.
So Virtua Fighter 2, I think, would be a hugely popular choice, I would say, if that was to win. And I think for the 3D fighting games, there probably aren't that many better.
Mm. Good choice, mate.
Yeah.
I think I've played this only once or twice in the arcade, and that's all I remember. But maybe that was actually the first one.
It was a real leap, I think, from what I've read when it came out. It was such a huge advancement, because it was used they used the Sega Model 2 arcade board. Yeah. So it was a huge technological leap ahead of Virtua Fighter.
This definitely came out in the time where I thought I was hating on everything 3D. Because I was so, in 94, that would have begun. 95, 96, definitely, that was a period where everything, if it was 3D, I didn't want to look at it.
Yeah.
Because it was taking away.
What have they done to your precious beautiful pixels?
Beautiful 2D pixel art that I loved. So, I think I've played this once or twice at least. So, it'd be good fun to have a look
at. The reviews for the Saturn are absolutely amazing. I mean, just looking down the list on Wikipedia now, I mean,
yeah.
94, 95, 39 out of 40 in Famitsu. So they are notoriously tough judges, and that is a phenomenal score. 10 out of 10.
And it's this series be is it, right? Still going strong today. They had a release last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown was released in 2021 for the arcade, actually, as well, and the PlayStation 4.
I'd love to see that out in the wild. But you can't see many, many of those in Europe.
Nope, probably not.
There we go. What's your last one?
My last one is the biggest hit of them all, because I thought we couldn't have a list of 1v1 fighters without this game. Everybody and their hamsters talk about this game when they talk about fighting games, and it is, of course, Street Fighter 2.
People can stop screaming at their phones or their radios or whatever they're using to listen to this.
Relax, people, we did actually add it to the long list, Street Fighter 2, and you told me, because I know almost nothing about the
Oh, don't blame me.
That I needed to pick Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So that's the version we're going with for the arcade. So it's released in 1992. And of course, both published and developed by Capcom, as anybody knows. A lot of you Brits have fond memories of playing it on the Super Nintendo, I think. I think a lot of you guys always talk about that version. But we will be playing the arcade version, of course.
Yeah. What can you say about Street Fighter 2?
Not much, mate, because I don't really don't like it, but a lot of people do.
It got a great Mega Drive port as well, obviously, but that came a bit later, didn't it, famously?
Yeah, I think did Street Fighter 2 Turbo ever get a Mega Drive release?
I'm sure it did in some way, shape or form, but it was that much later. Than it was a big coup, wasn't it, for Nintendo to get whatever they call this, Super Street Fighter 2, whatever version it was. There's so many versions of it.
So this is probably the biggest game on this list. I mean, this is the game that people still compete on. These old versions from 1992 still compete on to this day. And this is definitely a game where being a button masher will quickly get you killed.
Yeah,
I've done that many times because when you finally face somebody who actually knows what they're doing playing this game, you get smashed in seconds. Yeah. And that is where all of that skill comes in that you talked about, where it becomes a chess game. I mean, it's all about the strategies and about doing those moves with, frame perfect timing and
reading the animations,
figuring out what your opponent is about. I mean, if the opponent is getting ready to fire a fireball at you, you'll have to be good enough to see that a long time before the fireball actually comes out of his hands. You have to know those frames of animation and know how to counter it. And that level of skill always amazes me. So I'd actually love to play Street Fighter 2 Turbo 1. I'd love to finally learn to do some of the combos myself. Yeah. I hope that one of the characters is the easy one that I could pick up and learn some combos for and maybe even beat you, mate. So Street Fighter 2 Turbo needs to be there, of course.
See, when you describe it like that, when you talk like that, it really does make me think, oh, actually, really getting into it and learning would be so much fun. I mean, if you could take on a button masher knowing that you're going to win, it'd be good to get to at least that level of skill with these things.
Yes. Yeah.
And the great thing is you're always starting off so much better than me at these arcade games. I actually feel like this would be us starting from a level playing field. Could actually be fair for once.
True.
We haven't competed between us for a long time now.
No, that's true. And actually, to be fair, the last couple of times we competed, you beat me, didn't you? I mean, really beat me, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm winning.
So this will be my time to shine, I'm sure.
What can you say about Street Fighter 2? An absolute phenomenon. A game that changed the video game industry. One of the most important video games ever made. It's a cultural phenomenon. It feels like it's certainly got to be on the long list.
Yeah.
And it's going to be difficult to knock out. So, yeah, well done. Right, so I'm going to kind of pick up that baton and run with it. So I'm going to go with a game in the Tekken series.
Oh, yeah.
Another 3D series.
So let me guess which number then.
Go on.
Tekken 3, right?
Tekken 3.
Yes, that's the one everybody always talks about.
Yeah. So possibly one of the greatest video games of all time. I mean, if you look at a
You just said that about Street Fighter 2, mate.
No, I said one of the most important video games of all time for Street Fighter 2. I can't judge these games because, in my opinion, they're not the greatest. They wouldn't be in my top 100, but that's because I don't understand them. But when you look at, and I've had a glance through some lists, and you look at top 50 video games of all time from any era since Tekken 3 was released, you'll find Tekken 3 somewhere towards the top. Mm. I don't really know what to say about Tekken because I've never actually played a Tekken game other than Tekken Tag Team Tournament, which was a launch title for the PS2, which I got because there was literally nothing else to buy when the PS2 was launched, and played it a little bit and didn't really understand what it was doing. And then as soon as, in my opinion, something better came out, I dropped it. Tekken 3 is a PS1. Well, it's an arcade game first and foremost that was released, developed by Namco, and published by Namco, apart from in Europe, where it was published by Sony. The arcade game came out in 1996, and the PlayStation port came out anywhere from 1998 to 1999, late 1999, depending on where you were in the world. It's apparently amazing, and it looks incredible for a 3D game. There can't be many better-looking PS1 games than this. It was reasonably late in the PS1's life. And if you look at it now, it still holds up as a 3D polygonal game, I think, from the PlayStation era. Music seems incredible. I can't really say much about it because this is one which I have no history with. But I wanted to pick a Tekken game. And when I looked at what was the best and I seen just how well-reviewed Tekken 3 was, this had to be it. Have you played it?
Yeah, in the arcade a couple of times, just a handful of times. As with all these other fighters, I didn't want to waste my money on them. I do remember the arcade cabinet being quite beautiful. I mean, I loved the side art. There was this, was it red banner, huge banner at the top with the yellow text saying Tekken 3.
Tekken, yeah.
And it would always, for some reason, when you were in the arcade, people would be drawn to this machine, both because they wanted to play it, of course, but also there was something about the attract mode and the sounds. It will always be a bit louder than all the other machines, if you ask me. Yeah. So people would swerve to that. But definitely a hugely important game.
Yeah. It's another series, I suppose, that's still going, although it hasn't had a numbered release since 2015.
Okay.
When Tekken 7 came out. So I don't know whether there's a Tekken 8 in development, but it got a mobile title in 2018, which would be weird, wouldn't it? Got an iOS and Android release.
Sounds a bit weird.
How would you play that? Anyway, it's another series that has gone well into at least the PS4, Xbox One generation. It's difficult for me to sell this to you other than say everyone thinks it's amazing, so there must be something in it.
So at this point, I'd like to apologize to the listeners because Chris and I really don't know what we're talking about here. So we're doing our best, guys. We just want to play some fighting games with you, and please don't hate us for not understanding your favorite games. Teach us in the gaming club. So pick your favorites and come teach us how to love these games.
But we've inflicted adventure games and FMV games and radiator games and RPGs. Yeah. On our unsuspecting listeners for years now. So it's probably about time they got their own back on us.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Indeed, mate.
So we need to whittle these down, which should be interesting given that we don't know what we're talking about. But let's
Yes. So what should our criteria be? Alphabetic sorting or...
I like the names.
Length of name or...
I'm just going to go with whatever names are like. No, I'm going to base my choices on what you've said.
Okay, fair enough. That's pretty much what I'm going for as well. So you go ahead, mate. I started, so you get to pick off one of my games first.
Okay. So of all your games, I love a retro game.
Do you want me to remind me which one I have again?
Go on. Yeah, run through the four.
So from the back, I've got ER Kung Fu. I have got The King of Fighters 94.
Yeah.
I've got Soul Blade and Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Okay. You are 3Dist, aren't you? Not many 3D games on there. Soul Blade isn't even really a 3D game.
It feels like 3D, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. Okay, so unlike you and Dean, I do love retro games. Because remember the Specky episode, you chose a modern game.
Yes, that's true.
I do like retro games, but it feels like if we're going to do this, if this is going to be our only experience, potentially, our one true opportunity to really get into fighting games this month, I feel like there is no way we can risk having an 8-bit fighter going through. I mean, I can hear the people who've got loads of nostalgia for Yar Kung Fu screaming at me, and I'm sure there is a proper game in there if you really want to get into it. But when you think about what else is on your list, it's hard to really knock one of those out over a game from 1985, which I'm sure is historically important. But I can't really in good conscience take it through to the shortlist. So I've got to knock out Yar Kung Fu, mate.
Fair enough. So it's good that I didn't go with my original list. Do you know what my original list was for this?
Go on.
IK Plus, Exploding Way of the Exploding Fist, Yar Kung Fu, and Karate Champ. I was actually going to go with that, but then I had the same line of thought as you did. I want to learn to play one of those games where it's really skill based. Actually,
yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
So fair enough. That's completely fine by me. So remind me again, which games did you have?
So I've got Mortal Kombat 2, Tekken 3, Virtua Fighter 2, and Samurai Showdown.
Mm. This is going to be tough because I really want to keep three of those four. Okay. The one I don't want to keep initially is Virtua Fighter 2. I think knowing as little about it as I do, I've played all of these games. No, not Samurai Showdown. Played most of them briefly. Yeah. I never really enjoyed Virtua Fighter. And of course, again, it's me not understanding it and it's being in 3D and so on and so forth. But the other three I really want to play. So just because of that, Virtua Fighter has to go.
The groans are loud with that one. Good choice though, mate. You know, to be honest with you, I think they are... Can't really say which two I'd like to go through because I think there are only as good as how they seem. So, Virtua Fighter 2 is as good as any for me. So that's fine. Right. So, yours are tricky.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo. You've got Soul Blade and The King of Fighters 94. Left.
So it feels like Street Fighter 2 just has to be there, doesn't it? Because I feel like I will never be able to go on Discord where King Kong Groover is in a server ever again if I don't choose Street Fighter 2. I can just picture him now really raging at the prospect of it disappearing.
So it's looking at the King of Fighters, I'm not trying to defend it here or anything, but it's actually 3v3, the team battles you do.
Okay.
I think I said it was 2v2 initially, but it's actually 3 fighters you pick.
Soul Blade is not really doing it for me, I have to say.
Really?
I don't know much about it. I think if it was Soul Calibur, I'd have a really tough choice.
Okay.
But I just, in my mind, and from what you've said, I'm just picturing this inferior version of Soul Calibur, and that's probably not fair, and I'm probably not doing it any justice. But the thing I love about these 2D fighters, particularly in that Neo Geo era, is that amazing sprite art.
Mm.
So I'm really struggling to choose. Street Fighter 2 is going to go through, so I'm struggling to choose Soul Blade over King of Fighters. So I think for that reason alone, I've got to put King of Fighters through. Plus, fair I love enough, the Neo Geo.
That also saves me the hassle of having to get back into my old... Now I haven't done that for 25 years, so it would be bad to go back.
I'm thinking about your physical and mental health here.
Yes, that's no, good. I appreciate that, Matt.
Maybe. Just say no, Mads.
Yes, just say no. And what have you got left? You've got Tekken 3.
So I've got Tekken 3. I've got Samurai Showdown, and I've got Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah. So Mortal Kombat 2, I have some nostalgia for, so that needs to be on this list. And I really, really like that game. And as you said, it could be fun and it could be an interesting episode to record to talk about the history behind the Mortal Kombat series. Tekken 3 is so universally loved, but I really love the look of the pixel art, the 2D sprite work on Samurai Showdown. And I know Roushi really liked that game as well. So he spoke very warmly of it, I think, on the Discord forums. So I think I'm actually going to eliminate Tekken 3 from this list, mate. And we've got Samurai Showdown, which you also, I hope you enjoyed back playing back in the day on your 3DO. So you may have a chance to pick that up again if we play it. And then eliminate that Tekken 3 instead. I know that's a huge name to strike off the list, but hey, here we go.
I'm laughing to myself because we've managed to not choose anything that resembles a 3D fighter on our shortlist.
Wonderful. So we did right.
We are retro gamers at heart.
Yes.
So go on, what two have you got?
So I've got Street Fighter 2 Turbo and The King of Fighters 94.
And I've got Mortal Kombat 2 and Samurai Showdown.
So what have we got year-wise? I've got 92 and 94, and you've got...
So I've got 93 and 93.
Okay, so early 90s.
It feels about right for...
Yeah, it does.
We're going to do this in a retro sense on fighting games, it feels like the early 90s is the place to be.
Yeah, I guess 92 to 94 is the right place to be for the resurgence of fighting games.
Yeah, what a hotbed. All kicked off by Street Fighter 2.
Yes.
And every Tom, Dick and Harry in the world decided they were going to make a fighting game at that point.
Yep.
It seems, didn't they? And it lasted for years and years.
And the fun part about all of these games, most of them at least, is that they have releases on very many platforms, so we can have fun trying other versions.
Yeah, that will be fun. Yeah.
Even though actually Street Fighter 2 Turbo is listed on Mobi Games as only getting the arcade release and then the Super Nintendo release, and then way later Wii U, and that's probably actually just a virtual console.
Shall we say with Street Fighter 2 that if that does get picked, then we will defer to our Discord group as to which is the best version to play.
I think that's fair to say. That's fair. So we will be playing Street Fighter 2 Asterix. So replace that with whatever is the best version to compete on.
Whatever version that people know what they're talking about say is the best version
to play. Yes, yeah. Let's do it like that.
And what we would like when it comes to recording the episode towards the end of June is lots of listener clips from people who actually do know what they're talking about with this stuff and they're actually good at these games.
So, and what we'd like to do as well, if we end up picking a game that works really well in Fightcade, we will try to put up a competition, right?
Yeah, be nice. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So you did that for Sensible Soccer as well. We had that webpage so you can arrange tournaments on. So maybe we should actually look into doing something like that again.
Yeah, it worked really well. And the beauty of these things is that you can have a game, and if you just had the best out of three, it'll take you no more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Depending on skill levels, I suppose. So it's nice and quick.
Yes.
So there we go, mate. Anything else before we sign off? Any shout-outs?
Any shout-outs? Nah, mate, I think I'm good. We just recorded recently. I'd like to shout out, actually, Driskey. So Paul Driscoll for his work on the A500 Mini and getting all the CD32 games to work in full CD version. I've been testing some of the stuff he's been doing there. And it's been great fun. It's been nice for me to get back in contact with him, actually. We've sort of haven't talked for a long time. So, yeah, shout out to Driskey.
Yeah. I just want to shout out a couple of podcasts I've listened to recently. So Kane and Rince have published one on the Sega Saturn for patrons only, but it's coming to non-patrons. That's a single format special that they do, which is really, really good. And there was lots of talk of one-on-one fighters on there. And also Retro Game Squad. So I'm a long way behind where I should be on Retro Game Squad. But I listened to an episode of theirs for the first time in a long time. Early this week, and it reminds me of just how bloody wonderful it is. So, if you haven't listened to Kane and Rince and you haven't listened to Retro Game Squad, you need to correct that on both counts. They are both wonderful podcasts. Go and do it.
Indeed.
There we go, mate.
Good stuff.
We'll be back again. I'll get this. We'll get this published. We'll get the vote up, and we'll have a few days of voting, and then see you in June for some smashy, smashy button.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to see whether I can learn this, but it'll be good fun nonetheless.
Yeah, there we go. All right, mate. Well, catch up with you soon.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum. Playing so fast.
fast are the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in